Welcome to this episode of What's Up Bainbridge. I'm your host, Bob Ross. Bainbridge Island is full of talented, gifted, and interesting folks and families. Today we meet one of those families, the Reagans. Marcella Sandoval and Richard Reagan grew up in the South, went off to school, and eventually worked for the Clinton administration in Washington, D.C. Marcella, currently the lead for the Barn Kitchen Arts Studio, is a graduate of the Cordon Bleu Culinary School and has worked in fine restaurants all over the world. Richard is a United Nations diplomat. After several assignments around the globe, including North Korea, Nepal, Zambia, Kosovo, and East Timor, he is currently the head of the UN's World Food Program in Bangladesh. Marcella and Richard have three children, Zoe, who is in school in Costa Rica, and twins Coco and Carter, who join us today. Richard joins us from Bangladesh. Richard, first to you, and congratulations on the Nobel Peace Prize awarded to the World Food Program.
Thanks, Bob. Well, I mean, it's, you know, to start with, we really appreciate having the opportunity to speak with you and tell you a little bit about our family and life. Yeah, the Nobel Peace Prize is probably, you know, one of the biggest awards that anyone could ever aspire to win. So I'm incredibly humbled. And, you know, my organization, the United Nations World Food Program, won it. And I've been working for WFP for the last 22 years. And I think it, you know, getting this recognition is important for a number of reasons. You know, first and foremost, it puts the issues that I've been fighting for the last two decades, food security and stopping conflict, primary on the globe's agenda. So I'm happy about that. And it's also the sort of thing that, you know, we wouldn't have been able to win without, you know, so many good partners and the support that we've gotten doing these operations around the world. And, you know, more importantly for me, it's also an award that my family has won because, you know, my wife, Marcella, has followed me around the world for these 22 years in WFP. And our oldest daughter, Zoe, who is almost 18 years old, has sort of spent her life going around the world and living in strange places, and then Coco and Carter as well. So, you know, it's an award for them also.
Well, that's a wonderful perspective to think about. One question I have for you is, how does that prize translate to your work in Bangladesh?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, so I'm the representative in Bangladesh, and we're running the world's largest refugee camp. So we have over a million Rohingyans who were from Myanmar, and they were 3 years ago, they suffered genocide, and they were pushed out of Myanmar into Bangladesh. And I think the Nobel Peace Prize Committee made the award this year based on the World Food Program's role in conflicts, and in particular that role that we've played during the COVID response. For example, you know, in Bangladesh, at the height of the COVID emergency, when everyone was forced inside and movements were restricted, we still had to deliver life-saving food assistance to over a million people on a day-to-day basis in a very difficult environment with staff who were getting infected. I mean, we've had several staff members who have died. We've probably had 20% of our staff infected. In fact, I've got COVID right now. So, I mean, it's not an environment where, you know, it's easy to operate.
Yeah, and your case of COVID is manageable for you?
Yeah. I'm lucky. I have almost no symptoms. I'm about 8 days into it, and I've had really mild headache and a slight cough in the beginning. And you know, other than that, I'm really doing well. So I'm pretty confident I'll be all right.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear. I have some more questions for you, and I'm going to come back to you in a moment. But I want to go to Marcella. And Marcella, I've had the privilege to work with you, at the Barn Kitchen. And one thing that always impresses me about you is your level of energy and wanting to get things done very correctly and thoroughly. And that's really a wonderful set of traits to, you know, present forward with people you're working with. And I just kind of give us an overview from your perspective about your, you know, you guys grew up in the South, you made your way to Washington, D.C. Richard took on some other interesting work to do. And you have obviously an interest in food. You're doing some pretty marvelous things with that part of your life. And what's your kind of general perspective about what your life's been like?
It's been wonderful. We used to have this bumper sticker that we had in Tanzania that said, "My life is better than your holiday." And that pretty much sums it up. You know, it's interesting. I actually got into food. Both Richard and I were in politics in DC and working in the Clinton administration. And when he got his job with WFP, we got married and moved to China. And I got into food because I couldn't get a job. Started working with a friend of a friend in their gallery restaurant. It was the Courtyard Gallery and Restaurant, right on the steps of the Forbidden City. And one thing led to another, and worked with a wonderful chef. He was a Chinese Filipino American who was there, and decided that I wanted to go to culinary school after that. And Richard supported me, and this was before children. And then after that, it's been just a great way to experience the world through food. And that's what we've done. We've been able to discover new things and eat really well, and, you know, also support a lot of people through Richard's work. So it's been a really great experience. I mean, Carter, Emma, what do you guys, or Carter, Coco, what do you guys think? Is it been?
It's been pretty nice. I mean, you get to eat lots of nice food. Yeah. So.
That's pretty cool.
I would always drag them to markets too. That was always one of my favorite. The fish market, the vegetable market. They were always experiencing, you know, life in all these different places through my adventures to the markets. Even when Zoe was a baby, I would put her in one of these baby Bjorns, and we would go to the market and be picking fresh vegetables from the, you know, from the dirt floors where people were selling their you know.
As you're describing this, I'm thinking that's really one of the great benefits of living in these places you've lived in, is the connection to the food and the culture. And really living kind of day to day by going to the market and getting what's available and then making your meals out of that.
It was wonderful. I mean, even when we were in North Korea, it was so interesting because, you know, we just didn't have access to an embassy commissary. We didn't have access to a lot of food, and going to the market in North Korea was so interesting and fascinating because you weren't supposed to be there as a foreigner. And then just buying whatever it is that you could and, you know, making whatever it is that you could. I remember it took me 3 days to make lasagna because I had to, you know, mince my own meat. And then it took me forever to figure out the right flour because I kept buying rice flour and I wasn't able to communicate with, the vendor at the market that I needed wheat flour to make my pasta. So it's been an interesting journey.
I did read, and as I was doing research to get prepared for this discussion, that when you guys went to North Korea, I mean, that was kind of an unusual move. Am I correct there? I mean, to be in North Korea, how long were you there? You know, give us an overview of that experience.
Well, I was really fortunate. I was only there for 9 months because I had Zoe, who was two, and then I got pregnant with twins and decided the best place to be was in the U.S. So I came home. So Richard was there much longer than I was.
Well, Bob, I was going to add something to what Marcella was saying about the market in North Korea, which is an interesting element. So markets officially were not supposed to exist in North Korea. They were illegal because it was a state-controlled system. So just the idea that there was like a, you know, capitalist market was sort of forbidden. So Marcella would go to this market and sort of sneak in and, you know, have to, you know, exchange money, which was also illegal because you weren't supposed to, as a foreigner, be able to transact in Korean, North Korean won. So there were all these like little wrinkles to, you know, just day-to-day life. But, you know, my history with North Korea dates back to when I worked in the White House, and I, for President Clinton, managed a portion of the DPRK work that the U.S. government was responsible for at that time. And I traveled to North Korea. I think I was the first White House official to ever travel there in 1995 at the height of the famine. And if you asked me then, had I ever envisaged that I would live there, I would have, you know, told you you were crazy as a loon, because there was no way I would wanted to go back. But you know, subsequently, I joined the United Nations in 2003. Was asked to go back to be the head of the World Food Program and the humanitarian coordinator for the UN system, so like the senior UN person in the DPRK. And at that point, they only allowed one American to live there officially, and that was the head of the UN and WFP. And I think I did such a good job that I was the last. They said no more after that. And Zoe, our oldest daughter, and Marcella, Zoe's the only, I think we're the only American family that's ever officially lived there. And, you know, to be honest with you, they were exceedingly nice because I brought my family. And I think, you know, Marcella, she might have a different perspective because I think she got followed around, and Zoe still has kind of nightmares from, you know, people coming up and pinching her cheeks and, you know, grabbing her. But I mean, it was definitely an experience, that's for sure.
Wow. What an interesting, wonderful story there. I did want to ask Carter and Coco about your thoughts. You know, you're growing up in a family, you guys are pretty young yet, and thinking about the experiences you have had relative to your friendships here on Bainbridge Island. And I imagine your friends are pretty interested in the things you've done.
The like experience traveling around the world is like really useful in school.
Oh.
Because like teachers will like ask you to share like all these cool stories and pick on you. And it's like useful to get on like with your teacher on their good side. And with friends, you get to share these cool things that you did.
Sure.
Yeah. And adding on to that, you know, when you live overseas for such a long time, it's such a different scene. You experience different things. And then when you come back to the U.S., it's super different. Like when I first came back to the U.S., I thought a ruler was broken because it didn't have centimeters on it. And then, like, when you're talking to your friends about it, it's not necessarily just the friends that have questions. It's more about their parents.
Yeah, their parents have a lot of questions.
Yeah, I bet they do. Yeah. Well, Coco and Carter, what about your future? Do you have a strong interest in exploring the world more?
I'm really big into oceans, and I see my future. I know I want to try and go to school in marine biology so that I can try and help the oceans.
Do you think you're going to be overseas, or do you think you'll be a homebody, like stay in?
I think that it could potentially go back overseas, because I know when you get a job as a marine biologist, sometimes you go to different reefs and all that stuff. But so I think eventually it will lead me back to going overseas.
I'm really happy to hear a young person like you showing an interest in the oceans. They certainly need lots of attention and lots of new energy, for sure.
I was going to say, Bob, one of the things I think that Marcella and I really tried to do with all three of our kids in all of these places is really expose them to the beauties of the places they live. I mean, we spent 5 years in Nepal, and, you know, we trekked, we climbed. Marcella took them, you know, paddling down whitewater rivers, on pony treks. You know, in Tanzania, it was safaris, it was surfing, it was sailing, you know, all these sort of things, which I think, you know, it made all three of them, you know, Coco, Carter, and Zoe, just kind of better all around people. And, you know, I think each, you know, the elements of their, you know, Marcella and I talked, you know, before we had a family, you know, we always talked about living a life like that and exposing our children to all of these different influences. Because in the end, it's broken them out of a bubble and exposed them to the, you know, to the greater world, which was something that, you know, I didn't really have an opportunity to do until I got a little bit older. I mean, I really got my start kind of doing, you know, this sort of thing as a Peace Corps volunteer in the Philippines. And that really sort of exposed me. But, you know, they've had an opportunity to, you know, experience all of this as really young kids. I mean, I think Zoe, our oldest, has lived in, you know, something like 8 countries already. So it's, and she's only 7.
My. And I think, Marcella, you said earlier that she's in school in Costa Rica now?
She is. She's at a United World College school in Costa Rica, and they have about 18 schools across the globe.
Oh.
It's an IB program for 11th and 12th graders, and she is a senior now. She's in the 12th grade and finishing up her senior year. And, you know, during this time of COVID, it's kind of hard where a lot of kids are studying remotely. Coco and Carter are definitely doing that right now. They're, you know, every class experience right now is on Zoom. But Zoe is actually on campus and participating with kids from all over the world. And they are in a nice little place where they're, you know, they're all taking care of each other, making sure that there's, you know, if there's the virus is taken care of, they're watching them there. But they're on campus and having a really fantastic experience, because a real school experience, because they're all there and they're all, you know, in this little isolated area. So it's nice for them.
Yeah, it sounds like it's very nicely organized and a safe place to be.
It's unique, and it's wonderful because they're not college students yet.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more restrictions and requirements of them. You know, they had to have 2 weeks in quarantine before they could do anything. And so it's just, it's provided them a really great experience. She can't come home for Christmas, but she'll have all her friends there for Christmas.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So you guys end up here. I mean, I shouldn't use the term end up because there's no ending up. You're here now on Bainbridge Island, a great place to live. Richard, you're still in Bangladesh. How do you guys operate as a family? I mean, are you talking with each other a lot, Zooming with each other? Is it always like a family gathering? I think our listeners would be curious about how this works.
I would say that it's probably like from a professional standpoint, the most difficult part of this kind of work. I mean, we've always been together as a family in all of these places. And we ended up on Bainbridge Island because I came out there to manage Paul Allen's philanthropy at Vulcan. And then I ended up leaving there just before he passed away. And I had taken a leave from the United Nations, which you can do if you're a career, like I'm a career foreign service officer with the UN. So, you know, I've on occasion taken, you know, time off and gone and done something else just to try to, you know, improve my perspective on things, which is how I did this. And we ended up on Bainbridge because it was clearly the best place to be if you were going to live in the Seattle area. We liked the schools. We liked the island life. We liked having, you know, access to the Olympic Mountains and the Cascade Mountains on the other side. But, you know, we're, as Carter said, we're into the ocean, so we like to surf and sail and all that. So, you know, being on the island was a good thing. And, I came back to the UN, about 2.5 years ago. And it's just, you know, I first went to Libya, which, you know, was clearly not going to work for the family. So I went back and reopened the UN office there. And while the conflict was going on, so we had left Libya during the period when the U.S. ambassador had been killed in Benghazi. So I went back in and opened the office up there and sort of left Marcella and the kids and commuted back and forth every 3 months. And what I've been trying to do since I've been in Bangladesh is similar. I come home, you know, every 3 or 4 months, and you know, we talk by FaceTime or WhatsApp every day. You know, I try to talk to each one of the kids day, not for a lot of time, just a little bit of time. But you know, it's not ideal. But you know, technology definitely keeps us together. And I think it's become a lot more. I mean, before COVID, it was a rarity to live like that, but now it's much more common and ubiquitous that this is how people are interacting. So I don't feel as strange about it anymore.
I think the other thing about being apart is that, you know, it's unfortunately Richard does miss, you know, a lot of stuff, the day to day and the good and the bad. But like yesterday, Coco had an amazing soccer game. And she's a goalie, and she just had this fantastic game. And unfortunately, he missed it. And I can tell him about it, and I can take pictures, but he wasn't there, and he doesn't see it all. And that's really unfortunate for him. But at the same time, when he does come home, he's home for 3 or 4 or 6 weeks at a time, and it's really special because he's full on at that point. And it's, you know, the jet lag's tough, but and you know, the flight over is tough, but when he's here and it's fantastic. Cause he really, you know, he's taking them skiing or he's taking them surfing or he's just really engaged. And that's really, really lovely. And so, you know, we do the best that we can and we make it work.
Yeah. Adding on from a child's perspective, you know, we communicate a lot via technology, and it makes it a lot easier because you can, you know, see face to face, even though you're looking through a screen. And we still have, you know, we talk every day. We talk about normal things that a family would talk about. And then when he comes home, it's really nice because, you know, we give him about, you know, a week to chill out and get over jet lag. And then we're always doing something. There's not a single day that goes by that we're not out there doing something.
And we're trying to do other things. Like the other day we had this this family Zoom call where we were all watching the debate together. So, you know, I mean, maybe most families don't do that, but it's a way of all of us, you know, being engaged. We're all very, we're watching this election, and we're all very political and opinionated, and you know, we did it together as a family, and that's how our family worked.
Wow. What a great overview, you guys. And we're probably going to wrap up here. And I just can't thank you enough for being willing to do this discussion and kind of open up and talk about how things work for you. It's really been pretty fabulous. So
okay. We didn't want you.
Thanks, Bob. It's been a pleasure. We've really appreciate you guys making the time and wanting to hear our story.
Well, it's a great one for sure. Another great Bainbridge Island story. Wonderful. Richard, thank you for taking time from your work in Bangladesh, and I admire, I know all our listeners will feel the same way, the work that you're involved with and doing. And Marcella, thank you. And Coco and Carter, thanks for coming along and talking with us and telling us about your perspectives of a family life like it is for you guys.
Yeah, thank you
so much for having
us. Thanks a lot. It was our pleasure. Pretty cool. Thank you for joining us on this episode of What's Up Bainbridge, brought to you by BARN, Bainbridge Artisan Resource Network.